Worry is just a part of the human existence. It's built into our very nature. Part of it is good because we need to be aware of responsibilities that we have and pressures that we have. But of course, in our fallen world, we get that out of line very quickly. A hotel manager in Raleigh, North Carolina, reported that a guest woke up the entire hotel screaming, "It's in the phone book! It's in the phone book!" Well, the manager got the house detective and they let themselves into the man's room where they found him in the midst of a nightmare. "Oh," he said, "I was having a horrible dream." He said, "I dreamed the income tax people wanted to send me a big refund, but they'd lost my address." Oh, the things that we can worry about. And we even are so filled with worry that we sometimes will even use it. A Chicago policeman started to ticket a double-parked car, and a man hurried up and explained that he always double-parked when he visited the dentist. He needed something to worry about to keep his mind off the pain. So worry does consume our minds. But you know, for us as believers, in every facet of life, especially in this matter of our finances and our life and our future, God wants us to not be overcome by worry. And so our theme is worry-free giving, worry-free living, treasuring your trust in the Father, entrusting your treasure to the Father. And so we are using one of the chapters of the Sermon on the Mount, the early preaching of the Lord Jesus as he laid down the foundations for those that would follow him in the kingdom of heaven. And if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at that wonderful passage for the next several weeks. And it's very interesting, in the Sermon on the Mount, 17 times the Father is mentioned. 17 times the Lord Jesus brings up his Father and the importance of our relationship with him in regard to every facet of our life. Now, folks, these are days of worry. I understand that. I'm not addressing that here this morning, but these are days of concern and worry. But folks, let me just say this. You need to get it settled in your soul. The Father is still on the throne. And he is our Heavenly Father. And all the different incidents that we've seen over the last months, and especially this last week, our God was big enough to stop those if he wanted to. And we must bow before the sovereign will of an almighty God. He did not cause them, but he allows the course of the affairs of man to accomplish his purposes, and even the satanic attack against the work of God, he allows that at times, and he does it for his purpose. Do you think the Father wanted to stop the Roman government from crucifying his son from a normal standpoint? Well, obviously. But he chose not to. The greatest injustice that has ever occurred in all of the history of the world, he chose to not do it because he loves you that much. And my friends, I want to say that God, in his sovereignty, is dealing with his people. And I think we need to realize the focal point is not on our culture. We're already imploding. That's becoming quite obvious. I don't think this is judgment. I think this is chastening. And personally, I think if things went back to normal in 2021, I don't think still American Christianity would have awakened to where it should be. He is so concerned about you and me. He is so concerned about this country being reached with the gospel that he has, in his sovereign wisdom, allowed certain things to happen to deal with us and bring us into a deep relationship with him, and that's what we're going to be looking at. Now, folks, what I'm telling you, I mean with all of my heart. I've had to wrestle through these things, and I've had some tremendous talk with leadership here and with folks in prayer meetings, and the same perspective is with everyone. And that is that, in fact, the talk has been on the highest level I've ever seen since I've been in the ministry. And that's what God is doing. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Even though we grieve, even though we're concerned, even though we realize uncertainty is ahead, my friends, God is doing something. There is movement in the heavens. Satan wouldn't be attacking if he didn't see God doing something. And we've got to see spiritually. We've got to be very careful not to live just in the earthly realm. Now, we need to be concerned and pray, and we ought to pray for peace. We ought to pray for justice in the right way. We ought to pray for the right things to occur and do what Americans ought to do. But my friends, our first and foremost responsibility is to hear what the King of Heaven is saying to his people. And one thing he wants us to do is trust the Father. That's the whole theme here in this passage. So let me go to the verses that I read during announcements, and I'll read the final verses there, and then I want to point out this matter of how can we get to a place where God gives us a relationship with Him that takes away the domination of worry in our life. Back to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? People are worried about those things. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The unsaved world worries about these things. For your heavenly Father, He knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does God mean what He says? Did you get that? I hope that has meaning for you that you've never seen before. We have not been in an insecure position like this really for quite a while in America, but God means what He says. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So our focus today is on how do we get to a place where we can have victory to not take thought. You'll notice over in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And then in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? Worry doesn't do a thing for you. All it does is tear you down. And then, of course, the passages that we looked at there in the theme passage. So I want to go back to the beginning of this chapter to put in context the groundwork that the Lord laid out in regard to being able to take no thought, not be dominated by worry, be able to trust the Father, and it all gets down to a right relationship with God. There are Christians today who have great joy and peace and who are very aware of what's happening, but it's because they're at the throne. There are others, there are Christians who are just fit to be tied, just like the unsaved world. That ought not be. It's all about knowing God. Well, what keeps us from really walking with the Father? First of all, we have to deny selfish motives in our life, which is the normal default position of the human existence. Verse 1. And this is very appropriate as we're in stewardship month. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So here, right here at the very beginning, we have for true believers the fact that there should be an emphasis on a relationship with the Father and trusting Him, and knowing that He will take care of us, rather than forwarding ourselves and trying to meet the need of our lives by having selfish motives in what we do. So we've got to overcome living for self-glorification. We can't live that way. We can't give that way. Now, I'm going to apply this far greater than giving. We've not had yet somebody hire Mark Gilmore Jr. and have him walk down the center aisle blasting the trumpet and having somebody play put their offering in the offering plate. I don't think that's going to happen here in our church. We might do it as a skit. That would be an interesting skit to do all the things the Pharisees do. But anyway, but it's the matter of outward actions that earn, we think, spiritual blessing. And certainly, by the way, we are blessed when we tithe on the gross and really trust God. But we don't do it to be seen of men, to be thought well of, and we don't do it just to earn brownie points. My friends, it's because we love the Lord and it's right to do. And we are trusting Him with our entire life. But there is this desire for the praise of men, and that will always break our relationship with God. Folks, there is a deep insecurity in every person's life. And that's because we all are part of the fall. We were, Adam and Eve were cut off from God from the garden and of course came back through the sacrificial lamb and their faith in the Lord. But there is that insecurity of our sinful position that stops us from having an automatic relationship with God. And so therefore, even if you're brought up in a good home and you don't have a lot of the human trappings of the deep insecurities and all those things that come from the brokenness of that, you still have, just by nature, the sense and potential for being insecure. And so there is this self-awareness and this desire to be seen of men, to be thought well of, to have people like us, to feel like we have value. That's why, by the way, Facebook and those types of social media platforms are so powerful, because you get this dopamine hit with the likes, the affirmation that comes from, in really almost false type situation many times. And yet it's very addictive because of that need. Matthew 23, verse 5, but all their work, speaking of the Pharisees, they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments. Now, friends, our life, we've got to come to the end at some point if we want to walk with the Father, if we want to have a relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit like we should have, if we want to know the presence of God, we've got to identify our motives in what we're doing. You know, people can serve the Lord for the wrong motive. We can be even faithful for the wrong motive. And or we can work hard at our job for the wrong motive. It's all about meeting this deep insecurity need so that we feel good about ourselves, people approve of us, we have some standing, and we somehow have come to peace with ourselves. That will never work completely. It has momentary freedom that comes with it. What you're going to do, if that's your focus, you're not going to know that special secret relationship, as we're going to see in just a minute, with the Father and have Him reward the opening. In other words, the Father's meeting your needs and working, and you know that He's pleased because you're not living for yourself, you are living for Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul speaks of that. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Now, it's interesting. He's very clear here. He did not do what he did to get men's approval at all. But you notice he had to say it. Do you know we impugn people by the thinking they think like we think? And so they were putting on him what they would have probably been doing and what motive they would have had doing what he did. And he honestly could say, I'm not pleasing men, but God. I am freed from that. As Disraeli said, talk to a man about himself and he will listen for hours. And how true that is. And folks, let me say too about this matter, the context here was giving in secret and so forth. That doesn't mean that you don't give testimonies as we're going to give, but your motive is to be seen. I think at times you really need to talk to your family. You need to talk to your church family about how God worked and you were able to give sacrificially. I think that needs to be given as a testimony. But people know if there's any sense of trying to draw attention to yourself. So we don't need to be afraid of testimony, but it's the motive. But let me just say, giving is a deeply intimate matter between you and God. That's the whole point here. And it's a very big key to developing that relationship. I remember as a teen, when I fully gave my heart to my father as a 15-year-old, I was under his authority, I loved him, but I wasn't spiritually where I should be. But I remember when God empowered me to give him my heart. And it was amazing, the relationship that we had. And I had no problem giving up stuff. I had no problem obeying him. I had no problem sacrificing for him and having a different set of priorities because of him when I fully had given him my heart. And my friends, this is a sacred matter when God's people give their hearts to the Lord. And if we're not going to worry, we've got to have the right motive. We've got to overcome living for a temporal reward. All human success is vain. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And folks, we really do need to ask the Lord to help us not live for the now. In some ways, it's good that the now isn't very secure. Because folks, it's eternity. The Bank of Heaven has never had a run on it. The Bank of Heaven is secure. God, in his acknowledgement of what he's done through us, will last for eternity. Souls will be there that we lead to Christ. People will be there that we've enabled by the grace of God to live for Christ, and all the good things that happen, all of that and the growth in our own life, that will last for eternity. And folks, that's the heart we've got to have. But if we don't have that heart, we're going to be filled with anxiety. You mark it down. And we just live very self-focused. I've given this story, but I just like it, so please bear with me. A lot of people try to cover up for a lack of self-confidence, and a newly promoted Army colonel moved into his new and impressive office. As he sat behind his big desk, a private knocked on his door, and the colonel said, "Just a moment, I'm on the phone." He picked up the phone and said loudly, "Yes, sir, General, I'll call the president this afternoon. No, sir, I won't forget." And then he hung up the phone and told the private to come in. "What can I help you with?" the colonel asked. "Well, sir, I've come to hook up your phone." That is just the way life is, constantly trying to impress folks. You know, the Lord must look down and say, "What in the world are they thinking? And what does it mean anyway?" But listen, if you're constantly worried about what people are saying about you, if you're constantly worried about what they think about you, you're going to worry. You're going to be filled with anxiety. Oh, the great joy to know that we are what we are by the grace of God, and that we want to please him, and that we want to serve him with all of our heart, and that it's only through his power that we can do anything, and that he accepts us for who we are. It's just freeing. It's glorious. And you will have that private relationship with the Father. And I'm telling you, when you meet with the Father, you lose your worry. Anytime you are filled with worry, you can mark it down. You haven't been in the presence of God for a while. And let me say, if you're pulling your hair out right now with all this going on, you need to get into the inner sanctum, because the Lord's fine. And it's very calming to be in his presence. Number two, develop selfless prayer. Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so we need to develop a relationship with the Father, as I've already been saying. Now, of course, this was all, you know, religions pray, but it's all outward show, it's repetition, it's all for merit. That's what he's talking about here. But he's saying, get alone with God. Learn to get alone with God. John 17, that was the prayer of the in the high priestly prayer as they were walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord said in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And what he's saying here is, Father, help them to have such a relationship with you through the power of the Spirit, and that we would have a oneness. You see, God wants to meet with us. John 14:7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. This was the heart cry of the Savior, that we would actually have a personal, intimate relationship with himself, which meant that we would have it with the Father. There's nothing like being in the presence of someone who is meeting with God. And I've mentioned often how as a junior high boy, I remember in particular, one time we were in Miami, where my grandmother lived, and I remember being all alone there in the house. And I walked into the living room where my grandmother would pray and where she'd read her Bible, and she didn't know I was there, or she was so absorbed in her talk with the Lord. And there she was, just talking to the Savior, tears running down her face, talking about how much he loved her. And it was almost too, I remember a couple of times, Lord, that's right, that's what I need to do. It's like, through the word and through just the impressions on her heart, she was having a two-way conversation with the Lord. And she went through some great trials, but she would rejoice. Why? Because she knew the presence of God. And so, folks, our prayers need to be genuine that way. The elders of a certain church came to a young man. He'd been in their church, and he was just praying the best he knew, and they criticized his theology and his vocabulary as he prayed publicly in the church service. And after they had finished saying all that, he turned to them and said, are you gentlemen finished? I have just one thing to say. I wasn't speaking to you. And we've got to realize that this matter of prayer, it's public, is great. God has corporate prayer. The Lord Jesus taught that, but it is to God. But be careful in a prayer meeting. Don't pray with the awareness of what people are thinking about your prayer. And the best way to be able to pray aright in a public prayer meeting is to be praying all the time in private prayer. And then it's real obvious that you know how to pray. And you won't have fear then to pray in public if you are praying in private. And so it's a spiritual matter, and it should be just part of our life. Late one night, a salesman came to a hotel in a strange city, and he couldn't get a room. And the clerk informed him in this one hotel there was no vacancy, but there was a man standing right there, and he was a dignified gentleman, and he offered to share his room with him. Well, the man was very grateful. And just before retiring, the man who had shown such hospitality bowed down, prayed an obvious, genuine prayer, knowing God, and asked God to bless this man. Upon awakening the next morning, this gentleman told his guests that it was his habit to read the Bible and to pray every morning, and would he like to join him? Well, God had used the prayer of the night before in his kindness to touch his heart, and so he said, yes, I would like to. And carefully but firmly, the man led his guest to the Savior. Wonderful thing. As they parted, they exchanged business cards, and the new believer was amazed to read, William Jennings Bryan, Secretary of State. You see, that's the kind of life and testimony we ought to have. We need to develop a deep trust in the Lord. You see this here. This is not vain repetition, as the heathen do, verse 7. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. By the way, God is not deaf. He is not without the ability to hear. He can hear. And we can just talk to him. And we need to believe that God will work. And that's obvious. But I want to go to the third aspect here. Develop the heart of the Father. And that's the only way you can do it, as verse 6 says, pray to the Father which is in secret. In other words, get alone with God. If you are filled with worry right now, there's only one place that's going to fully take away that worry, and that is opening your heart to God through the Word of God, and then spend significant private time with God and dealing with any aspect of your life that God is working on in your life. As you know, we have, over these last several years, I think it's 4+ years now, talked about an hour with God. We have the Christ Walk Journal, and we have there in the second section the 10 points of 5-minute and 10-minute sections of how to pray. Obviously, I don't have time to go through this, but I want to encourage you. Maybe you really had victory in this before. If there's ever a time you need to get back to meeting with God, it's right now. And we have these available in the lobby. Let me just go over these wonderful points. And it comes out of, the reason I thought to put this up here is look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Isn't it ironic, just after he says, don't go through vain repetitions, that people pray the Lord's Prayer as a vain repetition? That's just like mankind. This is an outline of how to pray. And so the outline that we've given you there on the screen is simply taking the different elements of the Lord's Prayer, which, by the way, is in this section here of Take No Thought. And I can't just preach on Take No Thought if I don't deal with the matter of the right motives and having a genuine relationship with the Father, because that's the key. You will find the Father coming up, that relationship with God. And so it starts off 5 minutes of worship and praise, going over the attributes of God, then waiting on God, focusing on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, letting the Spirit of God bring great truths to your heart. Then 5 minutes of confession of sin. Now that your heart's open to God, let God work and have lists of different sins to evaluate where you are without being introspective, and leave with a clean heart. Then spiritual warfare. Folks, we're in a spiritual battle. We've said it for years. It's obvious today. And we need to be taking the victory for our personal lives, for our family, for our church, for our community, for people that we know. Satan's already defeated, folks. We just need to claim that victory. And by the way, in the Christ Walk Journal, there are many verses and many helps to help you with this. And then claiming promises. Begin to compile a list of how God has taken his word and firmly given it to you about the different areas of your life. And I'm telling you, once God speaks to you about something, you can hold on to that and have somebody else pray with you, and that becomes even more confirmed. Then intercession and petitions, 10 minutes, and that's where you really go through your prayer list and develop that well. Then thanksgiving, thanking God for all that he's done, and even the trials. And folks, I tell you what, right now we need to thank God. He knows what he's doing. We need to rejoice in him. And then 10 minutes of meditation and discovery. Take a portion of the Word of God, meditate on it, let God speak to you, come out of it with a determination to fulfill an I will statement in your life, to follow him. And it's just tremendous what God will do after you've already had 40 minutes of prayer. And then 5 minutes of listening, asking God how to obey him and what you should do next in your life, and then end with praise and singing. So I just wanted to remind us, folks, don't just go through that as just a list. Meet with God. Now, you've heard me talk about this. Can I say it as strongly as I can? I can give you all kinds of different facets of truth here from this pulpit. But unless we're a praying people, folks, we're not going to be able to navigate things. Now, let me see. All the prayer that's gone on in this church for years now, hasn't God been good to us? Have we not sensed the protection of God? Has he not given leadership that is obviously divine, not human? God will continue to do that. But God's people have got to meet with him. And I'm telling you, there's no holding back the church of the living God. Doesn't matter what circumstances. We can be under Nero. We can be under Diocletian. We can be under many of the other problems, the communist regime of Russia of years past. We can be under any kind of situation and have the church of God go forth in victory if God's people are praying and trusting him. One final point here is that we need to demonstrate spirit-filled forgiveness. That's right at the end of the Lord's Prayer. And it's a real indication that indeed we have met with the Lord. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father. Now I want you to note, the reason I dealt with the matter of the wrong kind of motives, because it's all about the Father having that relationship with you in secret. And the matter about praying, it's all about the Father seeing you and knowing you in private and how you should pray to the Father. And here again in verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, folks, I'm just going to bring it right down to the bottom shelf. If we have bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart with anyone, we'll not have victory in the matter of worry. Mark it down. Because if you are not free in your heart, knowing that you've got a clean heart and that you have forgiveness from God and you have an open relationship with him, you cannot overcome the stress of the situations that life brings and even hard situations like we're facing. And you're certainly not going to have worry-free giving. And I really believe that undetected bitterness, blaming, unresolved relationships do much to undermine the joy and the blessing that God wants in the lives of his people. We need to forgive all offenses. Peter said, how often should we forgive? And the Lord, he said, seven times. He said, 70 times seven. He just said, you just keep forgiving. I don't care what's happened. And it can be pretty bad. Some of you could have given me stories and really make me weep about how you've been treated unjustly in your life. The Bible says forgive. That's the only way to have the Father with the relationship that you need. The Lord will forgive us if we forgive others. Mark 11:24 is a very important verse about the matter of forgiveness and answers to prayer. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. In the year 1818, the king of one of the South Sea Islands, Tomato, became a Christian. He discovered a plot among his fellow natives to seize him and other converts, and they were going to put them to death. He organized a band, and he captured them. But instead of doing anything bad to them, he set a feast before them and treated them with Christian love. This unexpected kindness, because they thought they were going to die, so surprised them and so worked in their hearts that every one of them gave up their idols and became believers. It's amazing what forgiveness will do. And you know, the joy of knowing that you have a clean heart. You know, we ought to walk away from every prayer time knowing we're totally right with God. Now, we're not perfect, and things we may not have thought about. Aren't you glad God doesn't dump everything on us sometimes all at once? What? But he just step by step helps us. But as far as we know, we've confessed everything, but especially relationship issues. If you want that relationship with the Father, if you want to have that reality that he has forgiven you, you must ask God for the grace to release people who have injured you. And folks, may we have the right attitude toward every American right now. Everybody listening to me? Doesn't mean we need to agree. Doesn't mean we may need to act in an appropriate biblical way. But folks, we've got to have a forgiving heart. They need the Lord. I plead with you. Do not lose your blessing. Do not lose a walk with God. Do not lose the power of God. What your family and your life and this church and other churches needs is the presence and power of God. That's what we've needed, and we've not had it like we should. And may we not fall into the trap of Satan to give us a cynical, unforgiving spirit, which is very natural. One writer said, God expressed his love for us through Christ. He covered our sins in him. Thus, through faith in Jesus, we are reconciled to God. In that light, surely we should be willing to cover sins done to us by other people. Not that we can forgive sin on God's behalf, but we can do so in our relations to others. And I love the moving story. I've read the whole account of Corrie Ten Boom, who was off in the Nazi camp. She was one who had protected the Jewish people there in the Netherlands. And she had been tormented terribly. And her sister had died in this one camp. And one of the men that was part responsible for that came down the aisle after she spoke. He had become a Christian. And he put out his hand, explained who he was, and put out his hand to her. Everything humanly in her rebelled. All the memories flashed. The face of her dear sister. The injustices. It was horrible. But then she saw the cross. She saw herself in light of the cross. Realized she was nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And she grabbed his hand and forgave him. That, she said, changed even the ministry she had. It opened up an enormous ministry for her because she was free. I'm telling you, worry goes away when forgiveness by the grace of God comes. It's all about valuing the Father's relationship. And as in the Lord's Prayer, Luke 11 version of it, verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. You see, it's all tied together. Folks, as you think of the rhythm of the universe, the molecules and everything coming together, you see the universe, the stars, you see the seasons, you see the beauty of a flower, you see how the whole ecosystem works together. It's just a beautiful thing. And God has so made it that when we come into right relationship with the Father, we come into right relationship with His creation and with all that He has made. And God brings it tunes us to Him and to His presence. And there is a beautiful melody and harmony in our heart that no one can take away. Take no thought. That's what He said over and over. What's the key? A Father. Aren't you glad you got a Father right now that wants to take care of you? So don't live for self. Don't ignore prayer. And make sure you forgive. Let's bow for prayer.